Yuli, way out of here, is gone.
Two-out lightning from La Pina.
Gattis, way gone. Took out some frustrations on that pitch. And that is how you snap an 0-for-20. Tyler White.
There you go.
Deep to left. Looking up. Way gone again.
Shark attack.
Same spot that Evan Gattis hit his. Gattis this time to right. High and deep again. Gonzalez going back. And it's gone. Tyler White again. Kiss it goodbye. His second home run of the night. In the fifth for the Houston Astros.
That's ridiculous. Just got to move on. Ridiculous.
Can you score 12 runs in a baseball game? I wasn't aware that was actually allowed these days.
Oh, Mike, by your vaunted run differential, the Astros have been just fine for like the last week and a half.
Yes.
If you just go by run differential over the last week and a half, there's been nothing. What?
If we just take these 12 runs and kind of disperse them properly in the last four or five games, you'd have at least two wins I can think of.
Probably
three or four.
I was at some point when they were ahead by nine, I went back and said that, okay, you could argue that they've been fine for the last five games, including last night.
So I think it took
it back to six. So there you go. They're playing at a winning clip.
Well, because they lost by a run in the last two games of the Seattle series, so that takes care of that. They probably could have taken a few extra ones and won on Tuesday. So there you go. Right now, we'd be talking about a four-game winning streak.
They're basically on a four-game winning streak. If you go by the Mariners from the first half of the season, even then, you go back even further, like to where they're like, oh, the Astros only had a -2 or -3 run differential. So, all hail the run differential and advanced stats. Where you can convince yourself that anybody is doing just fine.
I know it's only one game, but I do legitimately feel better.
I do too.
They picked up a game in the standings, and I mean, you're watching last night, and it gets going early when you're able to load the bases and Correa's up, and you're thinking, okay, you got to find a way to cash in. And that first hit down the line by Correa, it felt like some sort of relief. Like, you just get relief in life occasionally.
And look, Correa, we know he's going to be back. I know you and Paul yesterday you had to change your underwear three times because you're crapping your pants and you're hitting the panic button, all of that. Correa will be just fine. I'm exaggerating a little bit. I know you weren't really panicking.
Paul's been hitting the panic button more.
Paul's hitting the panic button. Look, Altuve is taking batting practice. Springer's coming back. And Correa, who's been, as you pointed out, fine in the field, including anybody that bothered to stay awake and watch into the ninth inning last night after the game was clearly in hand. Correa made, I don't want to call it an impressive play, just a weird, cool play where they're facing a lefty batter. He's shifted over, basically playing second base, and he overruns the ball initially and then just reaches back with his glove and slaps it down with his hand behind his back. It was really cool.
Yes.
And then you couple that with that double that they had a couple days ago where he shoveled the ball double play. Like, physically,
he looks good.
I feel pretty good about him. It's just a matter of getting his timing back at the plate. So that was good. You've got Springer and Altuve coming back. Various other, Gattis hits a home run last night. My wife refused to stop watching because she was convinced Gattis was going to win a home run. And I'm like, listen, why don't you just take this luck to the lotto next time instead of wasting it on a damn baseball game that was already won?
I feel like your wife's not a lottery playing type.
No, she's not.
No. I feel like you guys
are too.
She probably
would be. No, she knows better, I think. She gets these hunches and these feelings.
Does she?
Like last night, she knew Gattis was going to win a home run.
I mean, but
to be fair, I think she says that every single time Gattis is slumping.
Yeah.
She just believes that every game he's going to hit a home run.
Broke out last night. So they picked up a game in the standings because Seattle and Oakland played an epic game in the afternoon, which eventually Seattle ended up winning, thankfully for the Astros, I think, because to me, obviously, and the standings bear this out, the A's are the main competition now in the AL West. Day off today, and they are flying to Oakland later today. So they begin a big series. First, what feels like a big series in a while, tomorrow night, Charlie Morton, then Dallas Keuchel, and Justin Verlander in a three-game series. The Texans had practice yesterday, the first practice against the San Francisco 49ers, and you were out there. I'll be out there later today for the second one, and it seems like the headline was basically the Hopkins-Jimmy Ward fight, which
I didn't get to see because we were still doing our show at that point.
That was still in the 9 o'clock hour.
Right, so by the time I got there, I was asking people about it, and everybody said, yeah, I don't know, it was a classic training camp fight. There were a couple punches thrown. I didn't even really sit down and do any of the analysis on the fight until late last night. And I guess people are convinced that DeAndre got his ass kicked or something.
No.
Is that what people are saying?
I think that it was pretty clear that Jimmy Ward won the fight, although you have to present the caveat that Hopkins had his helmet off.
Had his helmet off, and it's a classic sports fight. It's not just training camp fight. Whoever lands the first punch is judged to have won the fight, because immediately it becomes a melee and everybody's jumping on. You can't tell. I felt bad for both Ward and DeAndre after it turned into a pile, because I know that feeling of being at the bottom of a pile like that in a fight and you can't breathe. Like, it's the most panicky feeling in the world. You feel like you're going to get suffocated because there's people on top of you. You're already breathing. Your adrenaline's all spiked. Your heart rate's rising.
Can't breathe anyway.
It's 98 degrees out. Yeah. Look, DeAndre did a really good job selling a go route on a hitch. It was a quick hitch. He comes back for the ball. Ward, for whatever reason, I think maybe just out of habit, looks at DeAndre, who's got the ball and whose helmet is off. DeAndre's helmet is off, and Ward decides to go up and thump him up. And so DeAndre, at that point, almost like in the heat of the moment, you should turn the other cheek, all that. Guy hits him with your helmet off. He goes after him a little bit, but he never really... DeAndre never had a good base underneath him. So Ward shoves him, and DeAndre all of a sudden is reeling backwards. And from there, he's at a big disadvantage. I would have to give, for the 7 seconds that it was actually any kind of a fight at all, I'd have to give Ward the advantage.
Yeah, I would say if this was like if we were boxing judges, I would go 10-9 Jimmy Ward on the fight. That's like not a huge victory, but I would say a victory. Now, as I look at it, I think because I had a few people text me being like, hey, Did Hopkins get into a fight because he wanted a day off in practice? And
I texted that.
I
that was my conspiracy theory.
Is that what you said? Okay.
I thought, man, well, I put myself in his shoes and I thought, like, hey, I got 2 days of practice here. It's hot out. Do I go ahead and get in a fight? I don't think he would have done it on the first.
And as you pointed out, so Jimmy Ward knocks off his helmet during the play. Then it's not like Hopkins gets his helmet knocked off and immediately starts fighting with Jimmy Ward. Hopkins stands there, and Jimmy Ward starts going at him first.
Yeah, Jimmy Ward came after him after the play, which it's not like it's any huge embarrassment getting beat for a quick hitch. I mean, Ward was off balance, and he was trying to mug DeAndre, and DeAndre just kind of heaved him off of him and made the catch. I don't know why Ward was so testy about it, other than that he's thinking like, okay, I'm a vastly inferior football player. I'm hyping myself up to go against this guy who's much, much better than me, and he's going to be fighting tooth and nail. He's going to prove something to people.
I was a first-round pick. It hasn't really panned out yet. It's a big season for me. We're doing a scrimmage against somebody else. I've got to prove myself against one of the best receivers in the NFL. One thing also, Seth, I wonder about, and Paul is off this morning, by the way, because he is at a bachelor party in Austin. So we'll get the full recap on that one coming up Monday at 6 o'clock.
We should have just let people think we weren't letting Paul talk.
That probably would have been the better option. Just see how long it would have taken for people to catch on to it. Whenever someone's helmet is knocked off these days, I'm always wondering how tightly do they have their helmets strapped anyway
days. Huh? I don't know. Some guys just have a proclivity for it. My helmet would never come off. I think it fit so tight. Every now and then it would come close and it would hit me up in the nose, because Jimmy Ward wasn't trying to take his helmet off. I couldn't even tell in the videos I watched exactly how it came off.
Did it look like
he actually even hit it?
All right, I've been watching like 3 times that we're talking. It looked like maybe he hit it with his shoulder, maybe. But it did seem to come off relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't expect it to come off the way it did.
Yeah, I was kind of joking about whether DeAndre was trying to get kicked out. Watching it after I actually saw it, I don't think that was it at all. I don't think it's not like DeAndre walked into that practice thinking like, I'm going to fight today.
I don't think so either.
His helmet was off and Jimmy Ward comes up and hits him while his helmet is off in one-on-ones, like for no reason whatsoever. And when Jimmy Ward hit him, it'd be one thing to go up and just kind of thud him up a little bit, but he kind of hit him a little too close to where his actual head was.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that DeAndre has no choice in that circumstance, but I understand what he was doing.
He's got to do something.
Well, he could have just shoved him, I suppose, which he did, right?
The first thing
he did was shove him.
Who
threw the first punch?
I don't know if Ward threw the first punch, but again, he knocked his helmet off, and then he went at Hopkins. That's the sequence of events. Like, the helmet gets knocked off, and then Jimmy Ward steps up to DeAndre, and I think you know, makes some kind of motion with his arm. I don't think he tried to punch him initially, but he basically went at him. And so if you're Hopkins, at that point, you feel like you have to do something.
I saw some people say, hey, how come there weren't more Texans jumping to his defense? I think the easiest response right there is that I watched that a few times because I wondered about that. And part of it was that there are just simply more San Francisco defenders right in the immediate area. There were a bunch of defensive backs standing around. So it just physically took longer for the Texans to get up there. And it was in one-on-one drills. It's not like the whole teams were there and there could be a huge melee or pile. So I'm not gonna say that the Texans weren't supporting DeAndre Hopkins enough or anything like that. They were just fine.
Yeah, I can't read too much into that.
I think as far as practice in total, I'm not overly concerned about this. I would say the offense doesn't seem particularly crisp. Didn't somebody say in the first week that this is the best the offense has ever looked in the history of the Texans?
Yeah, that was the report the first week of the Greenbrier.
Maybe the Texans defense is just really good. It's just that on the few days that I've been out there, it doesn't look particularly crisp. It doesn't look like DeAndre is getting rid of the ball as quickly as I would like. DeSean is getting rid of the ball as quickly as I would like. And the only defense I would give is that it's not ideal, but I think part of it is just that they're not running their whole offense for the public to see, and that DeSean right now in his career still needs that element of the threat of the run, and that without it, defenses are better able and capable of defending them, and that's just flat out where they are right now.
When you were out there, what was not crisp about the offense?
Well, honestly, a lot of times it's just the amount of time DeSean was holding onto the ball.
Okay.
There's too many times where I seen him like he's staying in the pocket, but like in real life in the NFL, he's gonna get that pocket's collapsed already. Maybe it's the fact that defensive players can't come anywhere near the close to the quarterback, and he's not simulating enough that like, okay, hey, I got a clock in my head, I got to get rid of the ball, or I got to scramble. Like I'm glad that he's staying in the pocket. There are times where he's standing.
That's what I noticed Monday.
Yeah, that's not simulating real life.
Yes.
That's not what's going to happen. Like, I'd actually rather see him take off out of the pocket at that point.
Or throw it away.
But don't just stand there forever. And that's what look, it's a limited sample size. Like I said, I'm not overly concerned about it. And I think it's just what you do during training camp right now.
And the hard thing about evaluating this offense is, I mean, I thought the offense last year at this time actually looked relatively okay against the Patriots when we were out there in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And then they looked okay in the preseason, especially in that Patriots game where Savage actually led them to a few drives. And then you go into the regular season and it's a complete catastrophe week one. Then they basically have to use 5,000 tight ends as offensive linemen in week two. And all of a sudden, 10 days later, they become the best offense in the NFL for like 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah. Wait, so, I thought in week two, was it a bunch of tight ends or was it a lack of tight ends?
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
they didn't have
a lack of tight ends.
They use a bunch of offensive linemen instead of tight ends.
I got it mixed up in my mind.
That's
You're right. Yeah, 6 a.m. Yes. They use a bunch of offensive linemen as tight ends because all the tight ends were basically dead for a while.
Mark that down, Chris. That's the rare Seth correcting Mike on a historical thing.
You were 100% correct.
Usually 3 weeks later, it's gone from my brain. I don't know how I remembered that one.